going to try to preach it to you tonight. 2 Kings 2, and we'll start at verse 19. It said, "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord seeth. But the water is not, and the ground is barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse of oil, or a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spoke." Pray with me, church, if you will, that the Lord will touch and help me tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that you'll help me, God, Lord, to minister to your people. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll anoint me, God, because if you anoint me not, God, I will surely fail you, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd just give the word, God, Lord, as you have given it to me, God, Lord, and let it prick the hearts of men, Lord. Let it go forth, God, Lord, and minister to the people, God. Lord, help me tonight, God, Lord, to be a willing vessel, Lord, and get fresh bread of the oven, God. In Jesus' name I pray, God. Help me this day, God. In Jesus' name I pray. And a message I'd like to preach to you tonight is the story of salt. And I was reading this, and the Lord laid on my heart, and for the last couple of weeks, and been just giving me bits and pieces to this message that I kept just piecing together in my mind. And I began to think about the message that God would have me to preach tonight, and the Lord laid this thought upon my mind. So, to begin with, I'd like to just go and build a little bit of background knowledge about what's going on and how and what was going on before this verse of scripture. You see, Elijah and Elisha were on their way, and basically Elijah, this is whenever Elijah was taken up with a chariot of fire, and the mantle of Elijah fell down, and Elisha put it on, and how then Elisha come, and this first miracle was the parting the waters, and the waters were parted, and he was able to cross on dry land. And then after that, the men of this town come up to him and said, "Elisha, look into these waters, for these waters here, the town's doing good, you know, Elisha, but you know, there's these waters there in this land, it's so barren, and we wish that you could do something for us, Elisha." You know, the Bible doesn't necessarily talk about what happened between verse 20 and 21, but I have to think, and I was talking to Brother Buchanan about it, I have to think that Elisha didn't just say, "Okay, well, the cure for this is just go get some salt and pour in it." I don't think that at all, church. As a matter of fact, I believe that God, Elisha sought God, and Elisha prayed to God, "God, what will you have me to do?" Because you know what? In salt, there are many things, and I don't think Elisha would have thought about that at that point. But in salt, we can find many miracles. We can find many symbolisms throughout the Bible. That in salt, there's a lot to be said. And there's a story behind the salt that God put on Elisha's heart to be put into those waters and to heal those waters. Now, one thing that's evident tonight, church, is that yes, that salt healed those waters that Elisha put in there that day. The salt was able to preserve those waters that day. And the sacrifice that Elisha made to put that salt in those waters was also behind putting the salt in the water that day. Now, Elisha knew that salt was a preserver. There was a healing in the salt, and there was a sacrifice when dealing with the salt. But then Elijah called, and then that's when Elijah said, "Okay, then God, I'm going to listen to you." Called for the cruse of salt, and they put the cruse of salt in the waters, and the Bible tells us that God healed the waters. It tells us that God was able to heal those waters. Now, God can use the salt of the earth to bring forth barren souls tonight. God could use that salt, that same salt that Elisha used. He can use the salt in us to bring forth that which is barren and that which is dead, to bring life through that which was dead and which is barren and just lifeless. Nothing can be useful, but whenever that salt is added to it, then God can begin to use it, and we can begin to use it. you know, I was looking up and saw there's a couple things that salt is used in the Bible. It's used physically a lot of times, spiritually, and also to use it to illustrate a meaning. And I believe in all three aspects in this verse of Scripture, God was using it. You know, today we use salt to season. We use it as a preservative. We also use it as a disinfectant. Back in the old times with mummification, salt was even used at one point to preserve the body. Whenever they done mummification, salt was used there. And also, salt was a good trader. They used to trade and bargain with salt because salt was seen as something that was needful. I mean, just like grain, they would bargain for grain. Well, they used salt to bargain for. Salt symbolizes a lot of things. In the Bible, you can read how salt is long-lasting. It's permanent. It's loyalty. It's durability, usefulness, and value for purification. So we can see that salt has many different uses in the Bible and how salt could be used for many different things, even in our house. But I would like to talk about how useful it was to Elisha. And about how Elisha used it whenever he was going, and how God told him to go take and put a cruse of salt to be able to heal the waters. You know, and I was beginning to think of how that day that God was able to preserve those waters and to make those things steadfast with just a little bit of salt, with just a cruse of salt. You know, I was beginning to think in 2 Chronicles 13:5, it said, "Ought ye not to know that God, the Lord God of Israel, gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt." You know, that day God said, "You know what? I know that one thing that my people will understand, and that is salt knows how to preserve, that there is preservance in salt, and I have restored a covenant with David, and then I have gave him the kingdom of Israel, and that he will remain, his sons will remain over Israel." You know, and one day, right before this is, and this is when Abijah was telling Jeroboam that he said, "You can't come against the kingdom of David." God's promised this to David because he gave it to a covenant of salt, and God was in Abijah was telling Jeroboam that you can't come against Israel, but Jeroboam didn't listen. Jeroboam said, "That's not so." So Jeroboam went back and he gathered his armies, and it said Abijah and Judah had 400,000 men, but Jeroboam went back and Jeroboam said, "Okay, I'll make sure it's a double sure thing victory." He went back and got 800,000 men, but when he came forth to battle against Abijah and Judah, they were able to take him down because God said, "I have established a covenant with my people. I will preserve them with that covenant of salt." You know, God has given us a promise to be preserved with salt tonight, church. God has made that same covenant with us that he says, "Yes, you are the salt of the earth. You are that which has given flavor to this earth. You are the salt of the earth, and that you will be the flavor. And I will preserve my people." You know, salt has a way of preserving meats. And I mentioned earlier that, yes, we do use it for preservative to keep meats from spoiling. It has what they say is an antiseptic quality that it'll keep it from spoiling and it'll keep it fresh. It's like when you put it down. It's the reason why even back when before they had refrigerators, a lot of times they would preserve it with salt. It's because it has that antiseptic quality that it takes us. Church, what we need today is we must contain that same influence on life. That same that whenever God goes and he finds us out in the world, no matter where he goes and pulls us up and picks us up, we must have that same antiseptic quality that whenever we influence people around us, whenever our influence on this lost and dying world, whenever we go to look and God goes to find us doing a work for him, that he can find us preserving. He can find us preserved and not spoiled. Because if you go and he finds you spoiled, then I'm afraid you've lost your salt. We must preserve our families. We must preserve the world from decay. All around us, we could see that the world is decaying to left and right. The morals is going down the toilet. The things that just happen all around us that we know God should just destroy the, just should go come ahead, claim his people and go ahead and destroy the earth because it's gotten that bad. But church, we've got to get out there and realize that yes, there is a source and there is some that are salty and that it is up to us to get out there and it is up to us to preach and it is up to us to minister to a lost and dying world so that we can preserve that which is holy. Proverbs 14 and 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. When his people began to sin, that's when they lose their salt. If we go out and we don't minister and we don't work and we're just left there, then we're beginning to lose our saltiness. If we don't use the what God has given us, when we don't try to reach those that are lost and dying, when we fail to do what God has called us to do, we begin to lose that saltiness. When the righteous exalteth a nation, when there is righteous to be found, whenever God can look and say, yes, there is a remnant. Yes, there is a people that still call upon my name. Yes, there is those chosen few that are still out there, that are still salting this earth. Church, that's what we gotta be. We gotta go out. We got to preserve the gospel. We got to preserve that which God has given us. Because if we don't, we're going to spoil. There's also healing in salt. When Elijah put salt in the water, he knew that the healing would start to take place. There are people today who even go to the Dead Sea because they know that what salt does. You see people when you go to the mall, what are they doing? They're attacking you. It's, oh, this is Dead Sea salt. It'll make your hands smooth. It'll make your keep your hands because they know that there's something with salt. And God knew that day, Elijah, that this salt is going to have a mighty testimony. This salt is going to heal this water and be a testimony to my people that I can preserve and I can heal. That it's going to be a testimony to my people. Church, if we want to have that same testimony, we need to pray, God, fill me with salt. Fill my cruise, my soul with so much salt that no matter what I do and no matter what I put my hands for to you, God, that you will help me and you will heal your people. And when I talk, it will give life and it will not destroy. It will not turn down. Church, we've got to get that salt in our life. You know, the world looks to us to speak salty words so that they can seek a healing for. You know, a sinner comes up and they're lost and dying. They're looking for some sort of security, some sort of friend, just something to ease their pain because they're sick. The lost are sick and they're coming and they're trying to find a Christian that's going to give them just a little bit of salt to make their pain a little bit more bearable. Church, and when they come to you and they can't find salt, when they come to me and they can't find salt, we've got to look to one that can give us that salt so that we can live a life that's spotless and blameless before God. So that whenever someone comes and looks at us, whenever someone comes before us, and whenever someone comes to us, Brother Brian, we can say, you know what? I know one that can heal you. I know where to get the salt. I know where to go and get your healing from. But no salt equals destruction. In order for God to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he had to remove the salt. If there would just been 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah church, he wouldn't have destroyed it. If there would have been 10 people in there, but he said, I couldn't find 10 people. So therefore, Lot and his wife and his family had to leave Sodom and Gomorrah in order for God to destroy it. Church, as long as there's a remnant, as long as there's a people that's still carrying the salt of God, as long as there's those that still got, God's not going to destroy this earth. He's not going to destroy the earth. But and there's a scripture that I'm going to read a little bit that tells basically that God's not going to destroy this earth until he that letteth is taken away. until the Holy Ghost is taken away. That's when God's going to destroy. Until that salt is completely removed from the earth. Until that salt is completely removed. Until that salt is all gathered up. And God's got all of the salt. It's not spilled to and fro throughout the earth. He's gathered it up. He's taken it home. That's whenever he can destroy the earth. But Sodom and Gomorrah, if there would have just been 10, or if there would have been a little bit more salt in Sodom and Gomorrah, there could have been a change. God could have used that 10 salt to change Sodom and Gomorrah. But church, if we don't watch and if we don't work while it's day, if we don't get out in the lost to die world and we don't walk or work and we don't show that we're filled with salt and we don't use our salt for God, slowly and but surely that salt's going to diminish. That salt's going to be taken away. And then God's going to come back and we're and find a lot of people lost and dying in this world. It takes sacrifice to get life, that a life that is full of salt. In Mark 9, 49 through 50, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Will I be the one? Will I be the one that you know who said that God looks to and says, you know what, Chad? The such and such or so and so has lost their saltiness. I need you to go and talk to them and try to restore some of that saltiness back to their life. Church, you never know when you're going to meet somebody that's just drained. That's just drained of everything that's in them because this world has really just took a toll on them. You never know when you're going to meet someone out at Walmart and just go walk up to them and give them just a little bit of salt and say, you know what, I don't know what you're going through, but I believe it's going to be okay. You never know when you're going to be that righteous one that goes up to someone in Walmart or wherever and says, you know what, I don't know what you're going through, but I know that there's one who's greater. I know that there's one can take your pain, and I know that there's one that can heal you. I know that there's one that can preserve you until he comes. I know that there's working power, and there's a story behind the salt. We must get to the point in our that our sacrifice is full of salt, that when we offer it before God, then that it may be salted even more. Because, church, if we don't get to that point to where when we offer up a salty sacrifice, whenever we're offering up our salt before God, how can he even salt it if we're not wanting to become even saltier? We've got to get to the point to where even our sacrifice is salty. And that's not given begrudged. That's not given, I really don't have time to do this. I really don't have time to go to the church early and pray. I don't really have time to go meet with such and such and go hand out tracts. I don't have time to go and do this, Brother Derek. I don't have time. That sacrifice is not salty. And when we offer it before God, it's worthless. It's worthless, church. We've got to get to that point to where when we offer up something to God, when we get a hold of God, when we go to look to God to fill our life with salt, that he sees the sacrifices that are made in our life, that is full of salt, and that's full of, that we have tried to get to the best that we could and get that to the fullest we can to be a salty people. God, make my sacrifice a praise salty. When we present a salty sacrifice, God will then add salt to it and cause this lost and dying world that was thirsty, stop. Because when you add salt and when you eat something that's even salty, even to us, if we eat something that's salty, we look for something to quench our thirst. Church, if we get salty enough, when we walk down the street, we wouldn't even have to talk to them. But just the very presence of that salt, just the very presence when we walk to Walmart, they'll be looking and taking attention. You know, there was a story I was reading, and I might even heard one of you preachers say it the other day, but there was a story, it seems like I heard somebody telling me the story about the man, or D.L. Moody coming into a barber shop. I can't remember, but D.L. Moody going into a barber shop, and the men just all of a sudden, D.L. Moody didn't have to speak a word. But all of a sudden, they just stopped cussing. They stopped because just the presence of him. He didn't have to say a thing, church. Just the presence of Saul made them want to take attention. Just the presence of Saul will cause a lost and dying world to seek after something that's going to quench that thirst. They're going to stop. They will recognize that just the presence of Saul is going to quench, or they're going to cause them to quench their thirst. But D.L. Moody, and as soon as the man that was writing said D.L. Moody left, when D.L. Moody left, they went back to the same old stuff because the salt was taken away. That salt that was taken away. A salty Christian will make for a thirsty world. If we want to get to a point to where we want to see our family saved, if we want to get to a point to where we want to see the people we work with get saved, if we want to get to that point, we've got to become salty. So many times churches want to adapt what they're doing, Brother Buchanan. They want to lose that salt. You know what? It's good if I just keep a little bit of salt. But you know, I'm going to just give up a little bit just because the world, they don't want to come to a church that's just the strict and there's just so such and such and so and so. They want to come to a church that has all this going on, that has this for their kids and that's for their kids and this for them to enjoy on the weekends and that for them to church. A lot of churches are compromising in the fact that they're giving up their salt. But church, now is time. We've got to look and recognize that God's going to come back, and He's going to split, and Jesus is going to split the eastern sky open and come and get His people that He has called. And He's not coming back for someone that's just halfway full of salt. He's not coming back for someone that's not preserved. He's not coming back for someone that's not on fire. He's coming back for someone that is salty and that has not lost their savor. He's coming back for someone that's not lost their savor. Now, there's some things that you can do to salt to make it lose its savor. And if we look around, we could see church after church and after church and member after member and even members in the Holiness Church doing this. Even members in the Pentecostal churches and doing this. Losing their savor. Matthew 5:13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its, has lost its flavor, savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." There's a couple ways that you can that can mess the salt up. For one, you can mix it with water and dilute the salt. Make it not as salty. You know, and that's what a lot of preachers nowadays want to do. They want to dilute the Word of God. They want to dilute the things that God's already promised us, the things that God's told us. They want to dilute the Scriptures with water and this and that and just put whatever they want to change the Word of God just so that suits their fancy. We can dilute the Word of God and cause it to lose its impact and its saltiness. There's also, there has to be some sort of chemical change or chemical reaction or some natural change to take place with salt. And this is what I believe that a lot of the churches are going through. They're going through this unnatural change. This change that so that they can try, or so they can try to get some in. So that they could so-called try to get people in. They want to just become a little less salty. They want to go through this unnatural change, because if you look through the Word of God, He said, "I have not changed. I am the same yesterday, today and forever." So what worked for grandma, what worked for my great grandma, what worked for your ancestors is the same thing that's going to salt today. We can't look to be salted from some newfound religion. We can't look to be salted from something that just so happened to come up today. We got to look to be salted. And when we find that old path, we can look to that old path to become salted. And when we find it, we can walk therein. But churches today, they want to go through this unnatural change, Brother Buchanan. They want to go through this unnatural change just so that they can win the lost or win more members just to come to their church. And then another way is just to leave salt out and leave it unattended. Just to leave it out, and eventually it will lose its saltiness. If you leave salt out, it'll just eventually, after years and years, there was some sort of plane in Bolivia or somewhere that it's called the Field of Salt, but basically it's got heaps and heaps of salt from where a salted lake had once been there and it dried up and heaps of salt. Then where that salt has just settled there for so long, it's losing its saltiness. And church, I'm afraid that if we don't watch out, this is where we're going to face the most of our battles, Brother Derek. If we just sit here and we don't pay attention to our soul and we, I come to church, Brother Chad. I come to church and I read my Bible and I just sit, but I feel like I can just sit here and make it into heaven. But church, if you are left unattended, if you just sit by and let things happen and as they go, come as they go and never try to seek what is the lost souls for God and never try to seek God's will in your life, you will become unsalty. You will find the damnation that comes along with becoming unsalted. And whenever God comes back and he doesn't find you full of saltiness, he will look to you and say, depart from me, for I knew you not. Church, we can't risk that. We've got too much to gain to lose. We got too much at stake here. We've got to become salty more than I've ever. Yes, there's a sacrifice that comes along with it, but there is healing in the salt. There is preservance in the salt. There is so much more that God could give us if we would just sacrifice and get a little more salty for him. Sister Misty, if you come to the piano, I'm going to come to a close. I mentioned earlier, no salt equals destruction. And how Sodom and Gomorrah, if there would just been a remnant, then God wouldn't have, I believe, Brother Derek, that God wouldn't have destroyed them. If God could have just found the salt, if there was just some salt there, if there was just some salt there, he wouldn't have had to destroy it. He wouldn't have had to destroy it. There was just some salt. But church, my heart breaks to know that there's members, this church, the church down the road, the church down the street, that may risk that tonight of being unsalted, of being unsalty. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed over this message. Because God, I know that it may not have sounded like something great, and I'm not here to please man, but I'm here to please God. And this is what I found that God gave me. And I know God helped me with it. And if it's not helped you, just that's fine. But God really helped me with it. But God and Sodom and Gomorrah could have been healed if there was just the presence of salt. That presence of salt could have preserved them. That presence of salt in their lives could have preserved them. But they were full of whoremongers. They were full of lies, deceits, and envies, and strife, and all the other sins that you can name in the Bible. No salt. So God had to remove that which was salty and destroy it. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 through 9, it says, "For the mystery of the iniquity doth already work. Only who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs of lying wonders." When that Holy Ghost is taken up out of here, and the church is called up.
Come on, Richard.
There will be no salt to remain. The question is, church, where will we be whenever that salt is taken out? Will we be on that side? Will we be taken out of this earth with that salt? With the one that letteth. When he is taken up, that Holy Ghost is taken up out of the earth. Whenever there's no more Holy Ghost on this earth and he's called up into heaven. Will we find ourselves here unsalted? Standing before God with bloody hands and saying, "God, I don't understand. I tried, but I lost my salt. I lost my salt." Stand with me all over the house. Church, I preached to you what God gave me. And I wished I could have preached it 10 times better, but that's how God gave it to me. We've got to get to a place to where we become salty. Our very presence in a room makes them look and call attention to God. Not talk and say, hey, I'm a Christian. I got my shirt on tonight. I shouldn't have to tell people.
Come on, brother. Help him, God.
Just the very presence will call him, hey, you know what? Something's different about what was 5 minutes ago and what is now. Church, we've got to become more salty now. Because I honestly believe, Brother Buchanan, that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Will he find us salted? Will he find us salted tonight? Or will he find us deluded? Will he find us chemically changed to some unnatural change about us? Or will he find us just sitting stagnant? Just sitting out, God, I've served you faithfully. I've sat on these pews the whole entire time. I sit by and let those around me go to hell. But I've lived my life for you. I've come to church faithfully, but you know what? Didn't care to mention your name to anybody around me, and they died and went to hell because I didn't mention your name.
Oh, God.
Church, the risks of being unsalted. And when we stand before God unsalted, and God lays it out for us and tells us what we did and what we didn't do, will he find us salted or not? Church, let's find us a place to pray tonight.